Descriptive Video Exchange, Enhancing the Experience by Empowering the Consumer by Joshua A. Mealy. There is a photo on the page, the caption, Joshua Mealy. Introduction by Dr. Mark Maurer. Here to make our next presentation is the director of the Smith Kettlewell Video Description Research and Development Center in San Francisco, California. He is an inventor of the Descriptive Video Exchange, which is an idea he'll be discussing in a moment. It's a revolutionary concept that is poised to transform the way we create and distribute descriptive video. Here for this presentation is Dr. Joshua Mealy.
I am incredibly honored to be here and to speak to you today. I have to say that I'm taking enormous comfort from the knowledge that every year some poor sucker has to talk after Dr. Maurer does. This year it's me. I was talking to Mark Riccobono about it last night, and he said, well, I'm going to be talking right after you, and so your talk will give people time to go to the bathroom. So he was joking, but I hope you don't do that, because I do have a number of very interesting and important things to tell you about today. As Dr. Maurer said, I work at the Smith Kettlewell Video Description Research and Development Center in San Francisco. It is an organization that does a number of things. Maybe many of you have heard of Smith Kettlewell before. I'm not going to be talking about all of the things that we've done. I will be talking specifically today about video description. I want you also to know that the Department of Education is funding the research center, and while we often have comments about the department, we like to steer them in the right direction. This is one of the cool things that they are doing. They are funding this incredibly important research, and I will tell you why. Put it together for the department, because they've done a good thing this time. Thank you very much. So, before I begin, when I say video description, I think many of you think back to the turn of this century when the Federation was taking an interest in what was going on in video description. The FCC had created rules that did not include some important provisions that the Federation found to be unacceptable that they were not included. The provisions were about access to the crawlers on the bottom of the screen, the text-based information related to health and safety that were not in the provisions that were put into place in 2000. The NFB strenuously made it clear that this type of information access was critical and unnegotiable. They felt that the provisions did not go far enough in providing access to broadcast television, while they do not and did not take a stand against video description. They made it very clear in those resolutions that video description is useful and a powerful medium for getting access to television and other video information. These measures did not go far enough and were therefore opposed. I would like to let you know, if you don't already, that the 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Act that was signed into law in 2010 puts those provisions into place that were required. It also makes some requirements regarding video description on broadcast network television. These are similar in many ways to the requirements that were in place before. However, my organization, our center, does not really deal with broadcast television. Video description is an important medium, and we are looking into the future where the vast majority of video will not be consumed via broadcast media, it will be consumed over the internet. This time is not that far away. it's really important to recognize that video is an increasingly important part of what we consume in terms of our mass culture, our education, the things that we need to do for employment and for entertainment. And it's only going to be increasing. And the amount of it that's distributed via the internet is going to be increasing as well, to the point where broadcast television will actually be a vanishingly small proportion of the market. So I want to harken back to the comments of Dr. Maurer moments ago, where we were discussing access to instructional materials. We are looking at a coming day, very soon, when electronic textbooks, we may have access to the text, but they will have embedded video in them. We're looking forward to a day when most instructional materials will be provided via YouTube or other informational medium, which is video-based. These present serious challenges to our ability to access the information that we need to do the things we want to do. And those are the challenges that the center that I run is dealing with. And I'm happy to tell you that we have a number of technological and social approaches to addressing the needs of the students, the blind students of the future. I'm going to tell you about a couple of technologies and a couple of programs that we are currently running. The first one, the Descriptive Video Exchange, that's in the title of my talk, is a tool that we have developed at Smith Kettlewell, which provides anybody, anywhere, the ability to describe anything and have anybody else be able to hear it. This technology uses a web-based server to store and maintain all of the descriptions that would be associated with different videos available on the web or DVD or from streamed sources such as Netflix or otherwise. The server does not store the videos. The server only stores the descriptions along with the identification and timing information. The server works with a video player that then plays whatever video you might want to watch along with the descriptions that are stored on the server. This gets around a couple of interesting problems. For example, many videos are simply not described. There's no choice to get a described version of that video. That's one problem. So this means that anybody, anywhere, can volunteer to describe that video from their own home, upload the information, then you, somewhere else, can take advantage of their description and play it back in synchronization with the video that you want to watch. Another thing that this does is to do a sort of end run around a number of the issues around modifying and redistributing copyrighted materials. In today's model for video description, it's necessary to record a described version and redistribute that described version. For that, it's necessary to get permissions, and there's all sorts of legal and financial aspects of that that need to be maintained and done properly. This does not modify or redistribute anybody's copyrighted material. This simply plays the descriptions along with the material that you've gotten from whatever legitimate source you would otherwise get the material. So that means that it makes it much simpler to create description. I wanted to tell you actually about a story. When I was a kid, when we would go to museums, my mom would say, "Okay, duck under this rope, and then just the statue is right in front of you. I'll tell you if the guard is coming." And my mom, I think, sort of planted this deeply subversive strain in my in my soul. And sometimes, rather than asking for access to the material that you need, you simply need to take the access. Yes, it is subversive. It might, a number of people say it's legal. A number of other people say it might be legal. We'll find out. But whether or not it is legal, it should be. And one of the things that we are interested in doing is moving the technology in a proactive way forward so that when the time comes, we are ready. Another technology that we're developing works with this and is a mobile-based technology. What if you don't have that special video player that knows how to get access to the descriptive video exchange? What if you're at a movie theater and they don't have descriptive equipment installed? What if you are at a school assembly and they're showing a movie that nobody thought a blind student would need access to? What if you're in class and they're showing a physics documentary that has demonstrations and equations up on the screen, and the version of the film that they're showing is not described, and they don't have equipment that can provide the description? Well, we are developing tools that will use smartphones and a technology very similar to Shazam to listen to the movie that's being played in the room where you are, go to the server, and check out and see if there's description available. If there is, your cell phone can play the description synchronized with the video for you. Other students might want to listen to other descriptions of the same movie. There could be multiple descriptions using this system. There could be multiple languages. There are an enormous number of possibilities that are presented by the availability of this technology. And fundamentally, what we are trying to do is put the tools in the hands of the people that are consuming the material, rather than in the hands of the people producing the material. You might ask, what about quality? What's to ensure that the descriptions that get recorded on this system are good? Well, we've thought of that. There are a number of systems in place right now in places like Wikipedia and other social media crowdsource driven systems to ensure quality. They include the ability to edit things that you don't like. They include the ability to rate things high or low so that people won't listen to poorly rated video descriptions. And they include the ability to have trusted describers who can vet other people's descriptions and ensure that quality is maintained. There are a number of different ways to do this. One of the things that we're really interested in doing is making sure that the description industry is not left behind. This is a platform that professionals can use as well, and many of them are really looking forward to doing so. It would cut costs for them and make it much more convenient for them to get their product to our market. So that is, the professionals are in this loop as well. One thing that is not so completely incorporated into the professional description industry is the direct input during the production phase of description by blind professionals, people who are blind, who are trained in the needs of video description, how scripts should be written, how they should be recorded, what type of information should be provided, and when. One of the projects that the center is doing in collaboration with the National Federation of the Blind is called the Professional Development Workshop for Description Quality Control Specialists. What we've done, in May of this year, we had a group of nine blind professionals at the Jernigan Institute who were there for a week training with some of the most well-equipped people in the world on how to create and edit and ensure quality for description. We are making sure that there are blind professionals in this industry who are capable of being part of the production process so that when the time comes, that people need to be hired for these jobs, there are blind professionals available for that. I want to thank the National Federation of the Blind for allowing me to speak to you about the Video Description Research and Development Center. And I want to thank the National Federation of the Blind for being a partner with us in doing these exciting programs. One of the things that we're looking forward to is next year's Youth Slam, which, as has been described, includes a media track. Every year, the students in the Youth Slam create a video about the Youth Slam itself. Next year, we will have professional describers available to create, professional blind describers available to teach the students how to create their own described video. There are a number of things that we need to think about going into the future. Video description is no longer a luxury. Video description is now a necessity for access to instructional materials. We need to be proactive. We need to be proactive about the technology, as we are doing. We need to be proactive about making sure that there are people prepared to create the descriptions of the future using the technologies that we're creating, and we need to be proactive in making sure that policy and legislation is ready for us. We need to make sure that the students of the future are not locked out of video in the same way that they have been locked out of access to textbooks. Finally, I just want to say thank you. I was assured that you would be a friendly audience, and you definitely have been. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
To a man with a mission like yours, you can count on friendliness. To a man with a mission different from yours, not so much. But we're glad you could come, and we're glad to hear from you. And the plan that you put into effect is a good one. We look forward to helping make it work. Delightful to have you with us.